What is going on, everyone? My name is Mark, and welcome to the PWO Show, the Pro Wrestling Outsider Show. So this week, once again, I'm a little solo because Kyle, we're sitting here cold in the garage. It's a little mild out, but Kyle, my tag team partner in this podcast, is actually on the Cruise of Jericho, the second annual, which is so cool. So cool. You know, last year I wasn't able to make it. This year I wasn't able to make it. He's out there, you know, enjoying all the content of wrestling. He should be back in the next couple of days, which next week's podcast, when he's back, I'm super excited to see, you know, his experiences. What did he buy? Who did he see? Who did he meet? What matches went on? What, you know, open podcasts or open interviews went on? You know, I really think that's going to be a really cool piece of content to kind of, you know, bring to you guys, because outside of some videos being taken afterwards, you don't really know so much. And, you know, a 7-day cruise, not only is he enjoying some amazing warm weather, with his partner, but it's wrestling, you know. So, you know, definitely a little jealous. I'd be lying if I didn't say so myself. But, however, what I want to do is I want to kind of get into this week in wrestling. And also, I want to make a correction from last week. So, I was getting over the flu, busy at work, and I kept referring to last week's podcast as the last podcast before the Royal Rumble. So please forgive me. I was a little blanked on time. I truly did think, I thought it was, you know, this coming Sunday at the time, but it is this Sunday, January 26th, the same day as my son's 11th birthday. So we'll be enjoying some cake, some gifts, and a little bit of Royal Rumble at the same time. So what I kind of want to get into this is not too big of a podcast today, but kind of what I like to do is leading up to a big pay-per-view event, and I know I kind of did it last week, but let's recap Raw and SmackDown over the last week. Of course, we do officially have one more SmackDown, which is tomorrow. Today, it's currently Thursday. Tomorrow's Friday night SmackDown before the Royal Rumble, so we may see some more matches or some more contestants. So I'm a little excited for that, because last week, and ironically enough, when I kind of made comments, you know, about, you know, the Women's Royal Rumble being very thin on announcements, then I kind of thought of it like, well, it was thin because there was still some time left. Ironically enough, I wasn't wrong. When you look at the actual lineup now, they're out of 30 female participants in the Women's Royal Rumble, there is only 5 people still noted. There was 4, I believe, last week, but now we got one more, which is Natalya on there, but we'll break that down. So let's talk about Raw. Let's talk about SmackDown. I'll tell you, this past week's Raw and SmackDown, I really enjoyed. And what I enjoyed about it the most is we're seeing a little bit of different, you know, type of storylines, a little different mood. But I think one of the biggest things, and I really hope you guys agree, that has really, really, really lifted is the in-ring performances. You know, the matches have been super, super good. And, you know, if you haven't watched them, definitely go back and watch them, because there's some matches that I didn't think on paper would have been much at all. But when you really watched it, you know, absolutely above and beyond what I actually thought it was going to be. So let's kind of jump right into it. Last Friday night SmackDown on Fox, it opened up with Kane kind of coming in the ring, talking about the Royal Rumble season. He got interrupted by a little Firefly Funhouse, the Fiend, Bray Wyatt. Of course, for those of you who know your history, they also have history, the Wyatt family and Kane. But lights went out, lights went red, you know, and then the Fiend came out from under the ring. Daniel Bryan came and saved Kane. Looks like he actually got a lock of the Fiend's hair, which is quite ironic and apropos, seeing as how a couple weeks ago, Fiend took all of Daniel Bryan's hair off. So, once again, a little segment, but something to just, you know, not touch too much. You know, I don't want to see Daniel Bryan and The Fiend connect and brawl and fight before the Royal Rumble. I want to see little storylines, a little bit of a pushes, and so I'm kind of happy with what we got this week. First match of the night, and we got the New Day's Big E versus the first-time in-ring returning John Morrison. Now, I'll tell you, one of the matches that really kicked off the week for me. Really, really good match. Really good to have John Morrison back. Kind of made me think, you know, John Morrison, you know, was successful. He had The Miz in his corner. You know, Kofi was in the corner of Big E. However, you know, I kind of think to myself, I don't know if John Morrison has ever faced Ricochet in the Independence. I'm going to have to look that up, but imagine a John Morrison Ricochet match. I think that would be outstanding. However, you know, Starship Pain, boom, Morrison 1-2-3 in the corner. Really good match. Continued to show how great John Morrison is, and continued to show how great Big E can be as a singles as well. Because we forget sometimes that Big E not only was a singles, he's a former NXT champion, he's a former Intercontinental champion, and he was really, really good on his own. So, next matchup on SmackDown, we saw the Usos, their second weekend returning since coming back from a little hiatus, take it on the Revival. Another really good match. You know, SmackDown's changing. We got John Morrison back. We got the Usos back. You know, so once again, the SmackDown brand itself is starting to change a little bit than what we saw at the draft. Lacey Evans, you know, brawled and attacked both Bayley and Sasha, which then, interesting turn of events, which something we haven't seen. So, of course, we know we don't have general managers and things like that. But while Bayley and Sasha were in the back getting checked, a producer came out kind of being like, ah, no, it's like, well, she attacked us. Ah, it doesn't matter. I heard you would break every bone in her body, so get out there and fight. And, you know, kind of interesting because we hear so much about these producers and the people that help the talent in the back and produce the show. So it's kind of interesting, and I would love to see a little more of that. Not too much, but every once in a while we see a familiar face, someone that kind of helps move things along in regards to a match, or, you know, it doesn't need to be an authority figure, but someone that can go, you know what, you guys brawled, get in the ring, let's go, let's finish this up, let's get this started, you know. So that was a nice little, I couldn't remember who it was, but it was a really nice change. So then we saw Lacey Evans take on Bayley, non-title match. Lacey Evans won. Once again, really good match. And then, of course, we got, you know, in between, we got some little sprinkle of the storyline between Mandy Rose and Otis, which, I don't know. I guess I don't know where it's going. You know, is it going into she's actually falling for him? Is this going to be some kind of fat-shaming thing at the end of it? I don't really know, but either which way, it's something different, so let's watch it. Shorty G and Sheamus had a little backstage brawl and interaction. Obviously, you know, at the Royal Rumble, we know we're going to see Sheamus versus Shorty G in a singles match. But, you know, obviously Sheamus, and he's looking like the Sheamus of old. You know, not the mohawk with the shaved sides and the weird beard. Just very, very old school, you know, 10 years ago Sheamus. So, you know, kind of good to see him back. And, hey, Sheamus got a really good pop. And to the pop, I need to also, you know, give kudos to that SmackDown crowd, where in the past couple of weeks, the crowd have been a little, kind of sitting there on their hands, not really doing too much. They actually brought it this week, which was really, really nice. Elias had a little in-ring promo, getting the crowd going on, singing a song, strumming his guitar. Looked like we saw a little bit of a babyface change for Elias. Sami Zayn, Cesaro, Shinsuke came out. Sami, once again, was kind of promoting Shinsuke being the Intercontinental Champion. Cesaro and how great they are as a team. Once again, sidely building Braun Strowman, clearly going up against Shinsuke Nakamura. Not deemed for maybe tomorrow on SmackDown. We'll see. Maybe this match will be at the Rumble, but if anything, maybe they're putting it in the pocket and, you know, for a WrestleMania match, which I wouldn't be mad at as well. Because if anything, if you want Braun to get his first singles championship, because he's been a tag team champion before, you know, it would be kind of nice to have that be at WrestleMania. You know, give it to the big guy. But that did turn into, you know, Cesaro came out and, you know, Elias kind of made fun of them, sang a little song, you know, kind of humiliated them a little bit. But then Braun kind of came out and saved Elias. You know, look like, once again, like I said, maybe a little babyface turn for Elias, which is different. So, and I think Elias would make a really good, I don't want to say I shouldn't keep saying babyface, but I think Elias being someone that could, you know, I don't know, just kind of play the middleman. Like, you're not bad, you're not good, because, you know, with his songs and humiliating people and making fun of people and taking jabs is kind of what Elias does. So taking that away would kind of be, you know, almost diminishing Elias a little bit in such a great talent he has. But I would love to see more Elias in-ring, you know, let the crowd be behind him, because even though he's a little bit of a dick sometimes, that crowd loves Elias. So we got a good old paying respect video package for Rocky Johnson. Of course, if you had not heard this past week, you know, we lost, you know, a big one. Rocky Johnson, the father of Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, a WWE Hall of Famer, passed away this past week. You know, great package sent. And once again, if you have never heard of Rocky Johnson, or if you have and you're not too familiar with his work, YouTube, WWE Network, it, and, you know, kind of a man of his time. And you can really see, you look at Rocky Johnson and then you watch some of The Rock's matches in his early days, and, well, kind of more so all of The Rock's in-ring career, with the way he threw a drop kick, you know, in the late 90s, early 2000s, to his punches. It was definitely reminiscent of his father. So, you know, of course, here at PWO Show, we send our, you know, our respects to the family, and definitely that's a big one to miss, because he was such a great, you know, he wasn't in the limelight, like it wasn't a big Hall of Famer like Hogan or HBK or Ric Flair you always see all the time, but it was definitely someone that, you know, really pushed entertainment and wrestling, you know, way back in the day. So definitely a big loss. Next up from there, we saw Alexa Bliss take on Sonya Deville. That kind of had a little bit of a mix of Otis and Mandy Rose. Alexa Bliss did win. Roman then came out to take on Bobby Roode. Huge pop for Roman, which was pretty cool to see. This had a little bit of a stipulation on it. If Bobby Roode won, Corbin got to pick the stipulation to their match at the Royal Rumble. And if Roman won, he got to pick the stipulation. You know, obviously, as you kind of thought this was going to go, with being a tables match equals no disqualification. Ziggler and Corbin came in, beat down Roman. The Usos came in to help. Ziggler went through a table. Roman speared Roode right through the table to get the win. Roman grabs the mic to end the show with a huge pop. And he says, you know what, we're going to be in a ball stadium. False count anywhere. Let's do it. So we know at the Royal Rumble, we're going to get Roman Reigns versus King Corbin in a false count anywhere match, which, not mad at. You don't see a whole lot of false count anywhere matches, so definitely cool to see that, especially at the Royal Rumble. So that was SmackDown. That then brings us to Monday Night Raw. Once again, you know, when you look at the matches, let's just kind of quickly go back to SmackDown. You know, Big E, John Morrison, Usos Revival, Lacey Evans, Bayley. You know, Alexa Bliss, Sonya Deville, Roman, Bobby Roode, all really good matches. Maybe not all five star, but very interesting. The pace for all of them was kept up. It was definitely one that I didn't fast forward through as much as maybe I'm guilty of doing sometimes. So this leaves us to just a couple days ago, Monday Night Raw on the USA Network opens up. We have this new, you know, this team of, you know, the AOP, Seth Rollins, and now Buddy Murphy, based off of last week, Buddy Murphy helping Seth Rollins out with their fist fight match with the Big Show, Kevin Owens, Samoa Joe, and everything else. So they kind of cut a promo. Rollins really, you know, really talking about he's the, what does he call himself now? The Monday Night Messiah. That's his new nickname. Interesting. And what was funny was, we, you know, weeks ago when we kind of looked at and thought about AOP joining Seth, you know, oh, is this going to be a Shield knockoff? What is this going to be? Who knows? But now seeing someone else join the team, and especially someone like Buddy Murphy, it's very interesting. I don't know what I think about it yet. I don't hate it because Seth is so good. And AOP, once again, very dominant in their own ways, but they've always kind of been, you know, like their promos have been a little weak, so maybe having someone in front of them like a Seth Rollins that is so hot on the mic represent. And Buddy Murphy himself, he hasn't had a whole lot of mic time, but he ain't bad at it as well. So it's really kind of cool to see, once again, one thing I've always promoted that I love and I've been a fan of is something different. And we got to admit, this is different. So, of course, while they're in the ring, you know, Seth running his mouth, you know, talking about, you know, him being the Monday Night Messiah, how strong AOP is, how great Buddy Murphy joining the team is. Kevin Owens, Samoa Joe pops out. You might have finished Big Show. You didn't finish us. Let's do it. You know, they didn't come alone. Viking Raiders comes out. A big old brawl to start off Monday Night Raw. So I thought that was pretty cool. Next up, we had a insanely brutal, I don't want to necessarily say hardcore, but as hardcore as ladders matches can be, Andrade defending his United States Championship against Rey Mysterio in a ladder match. And I'm telling you, that was brutal with action because Lot's, especially with how old Rey is, putting his body on the line, you know, being thrown through and falling off ladders is absolutely crazy. Those spots, especially that one near the end where, you know, what was it? It was almost trying to do, like, Andrade was trying to do that razor's edge on the top of the ladder. Then Rey kind of skips over, rolls legs underneath the arms, and almost like I don't want to call it like one of those Canadian pile drivers there, but kind of flips over and, you know, Andrade lands on his head. I'm all over the place because right now I'm trying to think of all the spots, but just spot to spot, absolutely spot on in regards to a ladders match. And, you know, obviously you got to be careful, but hats off to them. Andrade did win with the help of Zelina Vega. Rey was going to walk away with the title. Zelina climbed up the ladder, sat on top, smacked Rey in the face, caused a little bit of a distraction and a little bit of a delay for Rey getting the title. Andrade won. Zelina Vega then went out, started pulling the protective surface on the bottom outside the ring, exposing the concrete with removing the pads, and they were going to, you know, take out Rey. But then, of course, an individual with a Rey Mysterio mask was on the outside. A big individual took off the mask. Who was it? Humberto. And I'll tell you, I didn't think Humberto was that big. You know, I thought he was quite small, but he's a lot bigger than I gave him credit for before. Saved Mysterio, and of course, what we do know is at Royal Rumble, we're going to get Andrade versus Humberto for the United States Championship. Next up, Aleister Black versus a local talent. Black Mass seconds, boom, 1, 2, 3. Once again, if you don't have anything going, make him go against a local. At least Black gets some TV time. I really hope they figure, you know, when we talk about the Royal Rumble, you know, we talk about the 2 months leading up the road to WrestleMania. I really, really hope that they find a spot for Aleister Black. I feel he's been wasted. He was wasted during the Survivor Series run with NXT versus Raw versus SmackDown. He could have been a key player on that, being a former NXT champion. I really don't know what's going on with him. And it's great to see him, but taking a guy out in a couple seconds, okay, it was nice to see you, but what else are we going to get? And so I just really hope moving forward, especially at WrestleMania, imagine a WrestleMania entrance for Aleister Black. That would be super badass. So I don't know. I don't necessarily have the answer, but I just feel, you know, kind of what I talk about Brock Lesnar holding up the world title picture and how you have all these individuals that are top talent facing each other for nothing, while Brock is away holding the title, you know, just hostage. I just feel if you had a regularly running, you know, world champion on Raw, and Brock doesn't need the belt to be, you know, the big beast that he is, I just feel that can lift everyone up. Everyone goes up with that, you know, so especially too, you know, don't get me wrong, I don't hate Braun Strowman versus Shinsuke Nakamura, but why couldn't Aleister Black be in the Intercontinental title picture, especially over the last couple of months, where Shinsuke's ultimately not had much going on at all with the Intercontinental title. The biggest thing that happened with him in the belt was that great match at Survivor Series a couple months ago versus Roderick Strong and AJ Styles, but also, you know, revealing the new look of the Intercontinental Championship, which still not a big fan of, but I don't know. Just, I'm a little stuck on Black. I'm interested to see what you guys think. You know, are you a fan of Aleister Black? Do you wish they did something different with him? If so, do you have any ideas on what that is? I'd love to hear from you guys. So, speaking of Brock, next up, Brock Lesnar comes out with Heyman, talking about how he's joining the Royal Rumble number one, talking about last week, just talking about moving forward, WrestleMania, Rumble, and everything else. Ricochet comes out. Very interesting segment, especially last 2 weeks. Last week, we got R-Truth coming out and being a little silly, got taken out, lost his 24/7 championship. Ricochet comes out and, you know, big pop for Ricochet. He's not afraid, you know, and he's not afraid of Brock, and he's willing to do anything that it takes in the Royal Rumble to go to WrestleMania for a shot at the championship. Brock kind of leaves the ring, kind of like, I'm not going to pay you any time. Ricochet just says, he's scared. Brock comes back in, kicks him right in the stomach, grabs the mic, not afraid, not scared, and walks away. So I don't know. Is that something that's going to lead to something more? Will Ricochet be the one that eliminates Brock Lesnar? Will Ricochet win the Royal Rumble? Who knows? Could have that been the foreshadowing of what the Royal Rumble will end up being? Who knows? And then the big question is, Ricochet wins the Royal Rumble and gets a shot at the championship at WrestleMania. Does he pick Brock? Because I believe still, you know, obviously you could pick any champion of your choosing in that sense. So, but I think based off that, if he did, he would. So, interesting. Randy Orton versus Drew McIntyre, another really, really good match. Kind of ruined by the OC, kind of came in, caused a distraction. Drew and Randy kind of joined forces for a hot second to make sure that they get everyone out of the ring. Big face-to-face, number one. Drew McIntyre is huge, but we forget how massive Randy Orton is too. RKO out of nowhere, Drew grabs the mic, says, "That's why you call it out of nowhere, but also, I'm going to kick your ass at the Royal Rumble." So, but once again, last year, you know, look at 10 months, 12 months ago, when we talked about the end of 2019 and 2020, who was going to be the man that had the belt or going for the belt? We predicted Drew McIntyre. Once again, a little like Aleister Black, a little dry. Every Drew McIntyre match is a good one. It's hard hitting. It's aggressive. Drew is so good, but what do you do with him? So hopefully we get some of those answers at the Royal Rumble. Then we got a Becky Lynch promo talking about Asuka, their past together, how Asuka can't beat her. Then, of course, Asuka and Kairi Sane come out, and it is Becky Lynch versus Kairi Sane, obviously non-title match. Very interesting. So Becky wins by submission, but Asuka sat on the top rope the entire match. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but when the hell has a referee ever allowed someone to be on the ring like that? A little weird. A little unneeded. Obviously, Becky gave her a big old, you know, right hook and took her down. But I don't know. That was a little weird. Wasn't a big fan of that because it kind of makes you go, well, where is the line? Like, where do you draw the line in the sand when it comes to your outside partner, you know, being on the ring? Like, even if they're on the ring apron or whatever, like, they get told to get off, get down, get out of here. Sitting on the corner, almost in the ring, is allowed. Wasn't a big fan of that. That kind of threw me off. Last couple of pieces for Raw. So obviously, one of the big things that led up from the opening of the show that I forgot to mention was, you know, Seth Rollins kind of deemed him and Buddy Murphy will challenge the Viking Raiders for the Raw Tag Team Championships. And they did. Once again, very good match. Crazy match. A lot of outside action as well with AOP and Kevin Owens and Samoa Joe because everyone was out there. But just crazy move. It almost made me feel it was an NXT New Japan type match. Had a very big feel like that. Lots of hard hits. They sold very well. Big moves. Back and forth. And what was great too was not only was it back and forth and you didn't know which side was going to get the W, but there wasn't a whole lot of false finishes, which was kind of nice too. It was a nice change not seeing these constant 1-2-0, 1-2-0. You know, it was really right into the end. Curb stomp from the outside. Buddy Murphy pins 1-2-3. Seth Rollins and Buddy Murphy and new Raw Tag Team Champions. As of right now, it's not deemed that they will defend those Raw Tag Team belts at the Royal Rumble. It looks like they'll be potentially in the, you know, they'll be in the Rumble and onwards. So we'll kind of see from there. But once again, I don't hate that necessarily. Let us sit on it a little bit. Let us move forward. What are they going to do with this? Last two matches of the night. Once again, unfortunately, Matt Hardy took a big old L to Rowan with his weird cage. If you haven't been watching, we've shared a couple of the posts over the last couple of weeks. But if you haven't ever seen Matt Hardy's YouTube page, you 100% need to. He is literally transforming from Matt Hardy to broken again. And he's very conflicted. And on his Twitter, he's putting out small little videos. And he's become broken again on the outside. And It's a really, really, really cool transition to watch because it makes you feel like the old, you know, Impact Wrestling days with, you know, with the Broken Universe and everything else. And, you know, you saw Senior Benjamin and you saw his wife and you saw his kids and King Maxwell and, you know, his new child and everything. And it's just a whole journey that he's writing, directing and producing on his own. And it's really, really cool. It makes me feel that I really wish that WWE would look at this and go, you know what, let's do it. Let's work with Matt and let him take a shot at this again. They did it once. Instead of broken, he was woken. Silly entrance music. Just every time, even when he was facing, when they kind of did the Ultimate Deletion type match with Bray Wyatt at the Hardy Compound, even out of Michael Cole being like, what the hell was that? That was dumb. Like, just, you got to get behind it because the crowd wants it. We love woken Matt Hardy. So I think it's an easy one. He doesn't need to be world champion by any means, but kind of, you know, let's throw, has Matt Hardy not given enough to the wrestling world and WWE to maybe not deserve that opportunity, especially when he created something that is so big? If anything, potentially one of the biggest new characters of the last decade. You know, when we kind of talk about decade and reviews and things like that, and he's definitely up there. So very interested to see what they do with Matt. There's got to be a reason why he's, you know, in the third hour constantly losing. There's got to be a reason behind it. And my hope is that eventually he just, he breaks. You know, he just breaks, he's done with it, and then we see the turn with WWE. I hate all these people saying, oh, he needs to leave WWE and go do it on the independents. No, he doesn't. Like, sure, he could, and maybe it would be great, but we want to see it in WWE. Well, I want to see it in WWE, and I know a lot of people do too, looking at the comments and the posts on the tens and thousands of people watching the YouTube videos, so I just really, really hope they give him a chance because I really think they would be very, very happy. But anyways, rant over for broken Matt Hardy. Main event on Raw. This one's been getting a lot of airtime. Bobby Lashley and Lana in-ring promo. Mixed tag match versus Rusev and Liv Morgan. I'll tell ya, wasn't a bad match. I'm sorry, watch it again, and maybe you disagree, which is totally fine, but, you know, Lana, you know, for the little time that Liv and Lana were in the ring wrestling, some pretty good moves, some pretty good hits, some pretty good selling, you know, definitely goes to show how individuals like Lana have gotten better and can be, you know, a pro wrestler, and how Liv has gotten even better now that she's kind of away from the punky blue tongue, you know, little blonde chick with the Riot Squad. Now, on her own, she can be a great wrestler, which was really shown in that match. Of course, it was kind of torn up all apart and back and forth, false finishes. Lana held Rusev's leg when he was going to go for the big kick. Boom, big old spear from Bobby. 1, 2, 3. The Bobby and Lana wins. And that's where the video stopped. Please tell me if there was more to that, but that's from when I was watching. That's when my my recording on my Rogers box stopped. So I didn't know that was going to be the main event, but hey, I'll take it. All right, guys, last piece. I know I kind of did it last week, but I'm just going to go through it one more quick time, and I know I kind of talked about it throughout this podcast, but the Royal Rumble finally, actually this Sunday. We got the men's Royal Rumble match, the women's Royal Rumble match. We know we have The Fiend versus Daniel Bryan in a strap match for the WWE Universal Championship. We got Becky Lynch defending that belt, that Raw Women's Championship belt against Asuka. We got Roman Reigns versus King Corbin in a Falls Count Anywhere match. Shorty G is taking on Sheamus in a singles match. I think that's going to be great. Bayley is defending her SmackDown Women's Championship against Lacey Evans. And, of course, we have Andrade versus Humberto, with Andrade defending his United States Championship belt. So right now we currently have 8 matches, 6 matches, and 2 Royal Rumbles, the men's and the women's. So let's take a little peek. There's a couple more announced over the last couple of days since from last week, 6 more individuals in the men's Royal Rumble. So let's kind of go through it. Hold on, let's see here. Right now we currently have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. So ironically enough, 25 individuals in the men's Royal Rumble match. 25 out of 30 confirmed. None of them are NXT. That's a little disappointing. I really thought this would have been a really good opportunity to, you know, maybe announce some people on NXT on Wednesday nights or just during Raws or SmackDowns that, like, this individual is going to be in, especially when they were trying so hard through Survivor Series and everything else to make it the third brand. So my hope is that the surprise individuals, and maybe they'll be announced on Friday Night SmackDown, but my hope is maybe we'll get a couple of legends, but I really hope those 5 additional spots are some NXT individuals to get that time to shine, because I think it would be really, really good. So, of course, what we do know is we have Brock Lesnar going in number 1. We also have Roman Reigns, AJ Styles, Eric Rowan, Randy Orton, Rey Mysterio, Ricochet, Drew McIntyre, Elias, King Corbin, Dolph Ziggler, Otis and Tucker, Rusev, Bobby Lashley, Aleister Black, Buddy Murphy, Braun Strowman, Shinsuke Nakamura. And what we know now, what we didn't know last week, is it will be Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens, Samoa Joe, Kofi Kingston, Big E, and R-Truth. R-Truth put himself on the Rumble last week and then took himself out. And now he's put himself back in on his Instagram story. So pretty interesting there. And in the women's, I kind of talked about last week on how, oh, wow, it's very thin. And then I kind of, like I said earlier, kind of remembered, oh, wow, there's still a week left. There is still tomorrow. However, there are only 5 individuals. Charlotte Flair, Alexa Bliss, Nikki Cross, Sarah Logan. And what we found out just today? Hold on, what are we today? Yesterday, sorry. That on WWE's The Bump, Natalya will be the 5th person confirmed. Very weak. I'm sorry, guys. Very, very weak. You know, I know we don't need to be in this world of making things equal because the men and the women, they're equal now. And I think a part of helping things be quote-unquote equal is not always referring them as needing to be equal. But I really think that's not fair. There can be, there's a lot of female talent that could have been announced, just like the men's. And once again, some NXT, or maybe some new. Once again, maybe some legends. Will we see Trish Stratus? Hopefully not. She had her kind of one last go with Charlotte at Survivor Series. But yeah, I don't know. Just that's hard for me to say who's going to win the women's Royal Rumble, because you got to think, who are your champions? You got your Bayley for SmackDown and your Becky Lynch for Raw. So let's kind of go back up. Let's maybe do a quick little math before ending the show this week. So Becky versus Asuka and Bayley versus Lacey Evans. What I say is Bayley will retain, because I think if Lacey Evans, once again, if you're going to have someone so close to WrestleMania be a first-time new women's champion, might as well do it at WrestleMania. So I hope Bayley retains, but then continues it going into WrestleMania. And then maybe if Bayley retains, Lacey Evans will be a part of the female Royal Rumble. And then Becky, Asuka defeats Becky, but then Becky is in the Rumble or chases. Because one good thing is, even though one person wins the Royal Rumble, there's still that other title that you can chase for. So here's my prediction. I'm going to write it down here. Bayley will retain. Lacey Evans will win the Royal Rumble. And Lacey will choose Bayley to go against. Becky and Asuka will continue to feud, and Becky will then chase going into WrestleMania. I think that would be pretty cool. Watching Becky chase again towards WrestleMania would be pretty fun. Now the men's. So, of course, what do we know? We know Brock Lesnar is not defending his championship. He's in the Royal Rumble, number 1. We know The Fiend is defending against Daniel Bryan. I say Daniel Bryan defeats The Fiend. Roman Reigns wins the Royal Rumble. And at WrestleMania, we see Roman versus Daniel Bryan. Last week, when we saw that little segment where Daniel's going, well, I'm going to defeat the Fiend, and Roman literally saying to him, well, if you're going to beat the Fiend and I'm going to win the Rumble, it's going to be you and me. Part of me thought that would be cool, but when you're kind of making things so obvious, it probably won't happen. I still feel that way. However, a part of me almost thinks, what if that was so obvious that it's still going to happen? I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. So I'm calling Lacey Evans to win the women's. And I'm calling Roman Reigns. Sorry, I am in my garage and it is cold out, so I apologize if I'm a little chattery. Roman will win the men's. Writing that down. There we go. Can't go back now. Wrote it down on the pad of paper. So yeah, folks, that's it. You know, it's, you know, and kind of going back. Oh, sorry, one thing to do. I think Andrade will retain his U.S. championship. I think Sheamus will defeat Shorty G. I think Corbin will win Falls Count Anywhere against Roman. And yeah, those are the other ones I haven't said yet. So just wanted to put those out there too. But no, lots of good wrestling. And I'm really excited because, you know, Kyle is back in the next couple of days. He will be here to watch the Royal Rumble. It is my son's birthday, so maybe Kyle can tweet out some reactions to it. I may try to in the evening when I'm watching it a little later on. But yeah, I hope you guys are excited. I hope you guys enjoyed this week's episode. You know, with Kyle being gone, you know, for the last 2 weeks, of course, I prefer being with Kyle because we're good at bouncing things back and forth with each other. But, you know, got to hold down the fort while he's away, all nice and warm, on a cruise, wrestling themed. I wonder if he'll get me something. Last year, he got me something cool. He got me a Cruises Jericho big poster, and it was signed by a bunch of people, like JR, like everyone. So that was really, really cool. So, but no, thanks so much, guys. Once again, if you haven't already, please subscribe to the podcast. Please download. Please leave a review, 5-star review, or any honest review you'd like to. Hit us up. We're on all sorts of social media, more actively on Twitter. We're going to try to boost up the YouTube a little bit more. But yeah, and once again, you can hit us up here, Spotify, Anchor, Google, Stitcher, Apple Podcast. And once again, my name is Mark. I hope you guys have an amazing week. I hope you guys have an amazing Royal Rumble weekend. And I will talk to you next week. Peace.